Though we don't place them in our manger scenes, there is a couple we need to know about, be reminded of, especially this time of year, this first Sunday of Advent, of waiting, of God's coming, God's approach. This first Sunday of the new year, our attention is drawn to the very opening scene of what turns out to be Christmas. It is of a priest from the order of Abijah. His name is Zechariah, his wife Elizabeth. They have both been expecting God's arrival to come as Messiah. And Zechariah and Elizabeth have also been hoping all these years, perhaps decades, that a child will be born to them, but alas. And now on this day, Zechariah gets the chance of a lifetime. He was a priest. See, and he was accustomed to doing the ordinary sacrifices, probably in a local synagogue, as well as doing odd jobs in the temple, and always a wondering if one day the lot would be drawn for him to do that precious ceremony of lighting the incense at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with all the congregation waiting outside to see their prayers lifted up in the smoke of the incense and know that their prayers had lifted up to God. Except today is taking a little too long. And the folks out in the courtyard waiting for the smoke to rise up are looking at their watches and they're wondering what's going on and what's taking so long and what is it with this guy and really how long does it take to light a little incense? I've got a lunch date. I've got a tea time. If I don't get this turkey in the oven, we're never going to have dinner tonight. And then that turns into, well, good gracious, what's going on in there? Is he okay? Did something happen? Maybe somebody should go check on Zechariah. So let's go check on Zechariah, shall we? Let's peek through the curtain into the sanctuary. There he is. His palms are sweating. His face is flushed. He looks terrified and overwhelmed. His pulse is racing and his knees are about to buckle under the pressure of the presence of God's messenger standing just to his right. An angel of the Lord is shining around him and giving him an incredible, stunning message. This is not how he had dreamed this day happening all his life. When he was training in seminary and preaching week in and week out, wondering if he'd ever get this chance, he knew if he ever got it, it wouldn't go like this. And when he comes out to raise his hands to offer the benediction to the congregation, and he realizes that he can't speak, and they begin to realize that perhaps he's seen a vision. And from that point on, he cannot speak until he finally writes out the name that this child is to be called, John. His name is John. And then his mouth is opened. What do we expect when we come to the church house? Now, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they're probably just as accustomed to a Sunday as we are. Yes, when we come into the Bible study, what do we expect? Fellowship and hugs and handshakes, maybe a nice insight from reading the scripture. Perhaps somebody will say something interesting, but every now and then, a prayer request leaves everyone transfixed, or an old grudge melts, or a text takes us by the hand or holds us in its clutches and will not let us go for the rest of the day. What do we expect when we come into the doors of this sanctuary and sit in the pew and wait for the liturgy to begin? We probably are hoping for beautiful music and inspiring liturgy, and maybe the sermon will be relevant this week. But every now and then, it happens. A closed mind is open, a hard heart is softened. Church becomes body and blood, pulsing with revelation and new creation, and we leave here never the same. Do you remember God coming to Abraham? All those many centuries, even before Zechariah and Elizabeth lived, Abe laughs when God comes to him and says, in person now, I'm going to bless you and Sarah. She is going to bear you a son. If you remember the story, Abraham not only laughs, but he falls down on his face and laughs. Today, Zechariah receives a very similar message, but he is not laughing. Indeed, he cannot even speak. He has been muted. Why? Because, I think, because, yes, he knew the story of Abraham and Sarah. He knew that God keeps God's promises to Abraham and Sarah. Zechariah probably knew this story by heart. He probably had it written on his heart. It had probably been formative for him since the days of his childhood. It has probably sustained and grounded him in his ministry as a priest. But it's still just that, a legendary witness for someone else. A beautiful story, an inspiring story. God's own story of barging in on his people and giving them a promise of new hope. But just that, a story outside of himself, not for him. Surely he would not be just like Abraham as a character in the same story. But he did have this little prayer that he prayed. He and Elizabeth. Well, he was always praying on behalf of his people, and I imagine one day Elizabeth came up to him and said, why don't you pray for us for once? And so he began slipping that into the prayers for the people. Lord, give us a child. And the next Sunday, Lord, give us a child. And he'd say it under his breath, and he wouldn't tell anybody, but he just kept it. He kept it guarded. It was just between him and Elizabeth and God. God, I know you keep promises, and maybe it's just more protest than petition that I pray it this Sunday, but I pray it nevertheless. God, give us a child. And then when he's called up to the big time, he gets the short straw, and now it's his turn to enter into the sanctuary, where he'll never get to go again, and pray the prayers of the people. And you have to know, he just slipped it in real quietly under his breath, prayers of the people, and Lord, give us a child, but not really believing anything would happen. And then God's messenger appears. And he tells him that he will have a child. Elizabeth will become pregnant and bear him a son, and not just any son, but one who would become great. His name would be John, and he would prepare a way in the wilderness for God's people. And his preaching would lead to the repentance of many, and many hearts would be turned in all of Israel back to God. And he would be the one who would point to the Messiah who's coming. This is the one who would be born to him and to Elizabeth. This would be the answer to his prayer. But then Zechariah questions, how am I to know this? I'm getting on in years, and Elizabeth is thinking less about nurseries and more about retirement at this point. I've got questions, and I'm going to need some answers, Gabriel. And Gabriel says, for not believing, you will be mute from today until the time that all these things of which I told you come about. You sort of want to shake Zechariah a little bit, grab him by the shoulders and say, Zechariah, come on, why do you have questions? The messenger of God standing right in front of you. What more sign do you need, man? But it could be that he was afraid. Afraid of going back out to the people and giving them this message because, you know, they were expecting a benediction and not a baby announcement. Maybe he was afraid that Elizabeth would doubt. Elizabeth, you remember that prayer you asked me to pray about 20 years ago, and I've been praying it all this time, and I never really go on about it, but you remember what you asked me to pray? Well, I prayed it, and an angel stood before me, see, and he said it's going to come true. And what would Elizabeth say? Oh, an angel, huh? An angel said it, did he? Yeah, okay, all right, Zechariah, thank you for that. Maybe he was afraid he just wasn't cut out to be father of such a special child. Who knows? Or maybe he's just afraid that God actually does fulfill God's promises. It can be a fearful thing to know that God listens to our prayers. You know, in a way, Zechariah reminds me of faithful churches across this good land who are so used to doing church and doing faith that even when God does show up, we still want God to do what God does on our terms. Can you imagine coming face to face with a revelation of God's message in the sanctuary of God's church and still having the gall to be like, yes, well, I still have some concerns. I have some questions. Gracious. We established obedient, praying, well-to-do downtown churches might consider Zechariah's muzzle as a warning. Think of the bold witness that Zechariah might have had if had he walked out of that sanctuary and out to the people, the bold witness that he could have offered them and the message that he could have given them of promise, of new life, a new creation. That God really was going to make their descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and they get to participate in that promise too. Zechariah might have come out with a spring in his step and offered him that promise, but he did not. He questioned, and he was muted. Not until he goes through a radical transformation and submits to God's will is he made able to speak this message of new life. Now, as we gaze with hope on this candle of hope, here on this first Sunday of a new year, let us not forget the hope that we've carried for new life in this place. Do we retain the capacity to be stunned by God's revelations here, now? Do we retain the capacity to be stunned by a spirit of a living God? Oh, Spirit of the living God, don't silence us now. Stunning God, stun us again. Terrifying God, terrify us again. Overwhelming God, overwhelm us again. Show us that you make a way in the wilderness. Show us that you pour rivers into a desert. Help us to perceive the new thing that you are doing. Help us to bring a message to this place that will make all the ears of those who hear it tingle. I sort of wonder what would happen if we prayed Zechariah's secret prayer. Why don't we try? Almighty and everlasting God, gracious and forgiving and abounding in steadfast love, you know the longings of my heart. Would you make good on your promises to Israel and send us Messiah? Would you make good on your promises and restore our fortunes? Would you make good on your promises and make your people as impossible to count as the stars in the sky? Would you come especially close to those in the congregation who, along with Elizabeth and I, bear the suffering of barren wombs? Would you lift up their hearts and their grief and come close to them and make your promises known to them? Strengthen them to hold on to hope, even to hope against hope for new life. Disrupt their sorrow with revelations of divine love. Open their eyes to see your bewildering glory and their ears to hear a new song. And bless them with new life that their homes may become places of hope fulfilled. Bless the whole congregation with eyes to see your will unfolding and ears to hear a stunning message of new creation rising up in our midst, that we may recognize and respond to your unexpected intrusions with faithful obedience. Let the old see visions and the young dream new dreams as you make a new way in the wilderness for your people and do new things among us that will make the ears of all who hear it tingle. It tickles me to think, after word got out about Zechariah's experience, what it must have been like for the next priest to come into the sanctuary. What do you think that was like? Is it safe to come in? No. But it is pregnant, this place, with terrifying, overwhelming, stunning presence of God.